This podcast is a member of the New York City Podcast Network at nycpodcastnetwork.com. Visit us to listen to over 250 amazing podcasts just like this one.
Japanese street style is some of the cutest and trendiest clothing in the world. Introducing Cherry Goddess Women's Clothing and Accessories, the hottest original and cute clothing company. We offer tops, clothes, accessories, shoes, dresses and skirts, and comfortable homeware that we guarantee you will love. Cherry Goddess Women's Clothing, super cute Japanese style clothing.
This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we're back at it again. Today we're doing a special episode about the shooting death of Ahmaud Arbery. What I'm going to do is, in this quick special episode, I am going to talk about the timeline of the case and other details that the mainstream media is not talking about. So let's get right to it. The shooting death of Ahmaud Arbery, a time-life of case that's gripping the nation, is an article on Insider.com by Ria Makhbani. Ahmaud Arbery, a 25-year-old black man, set out for a jog in Brunswick, Georgia one afternoon in late February. He never made it home. Georgia McMichael, 64, and his son Travis McMichael, 34, both whom are white, say they mistook Arbery for a burglary suspect, so they grabbed two guns, hopped into their pickup truck, and pursued him. Arbery was shot during an altercation with the pair and died of his wounds. He was buried 6 days later, but the men who killed him roamed free for more than 2 months. This incident was thrust into the national spotlight in early May when a video filmed by a witness showing the gruesome footage of Arbery's final moments was uploaded to social media and shared widely. It has since led to the arrest of McMichaels on felony murder and aggravated assault charges, then assigned to a fourth district attorney, and prompted widespread anger and calls for justice. Here's how the Arbery case unfolded. February 23rd, Ahmaud Arbery is gunned down in broad daylight. Gregory McMichael told the responding officer, Jay Brandenberry, that he first noticed Arbery because he resembled a man accused of a string of residential break-ins in the area, according to a Glynn County police report. But the Brunswick News found that the only one burglary had been reported in the area from the start of 2020 to the day Arbery died. The sole item stolen was a gun from Travis McMichael's unlocked pickup truck. That didn't stop the men from grabbing their guns, a 357 Magnum and a shotgun. And following Arbery just after 1 p.m., they intercepted him. Arbery got into a scuffle with Travis McMichael. The two men started fighting over the shotgun, at which point Travis fired a shot, and then a second later there was a second shot, the report said. The altercation was filmed by a witness, later identified as William Bryan. Three shots were heard in the footage, one with the one fired point blank before Arbery stumbled and fell face down. Gregory McMichael, a former police officer and investigator with the Glynn County District Attorney's Office, told police he rolled the body over to check for a weapon. Arbery was unarmed, but Brandenberry made a note of the blood on the senior McMichael's hands. February 23rd to 25th. Jackie Johnson, the district attorney from Brunswick Judicial Circuit, recuses herself from the Arbery case. Jackie Johnson told the Brunswick News that she emailed State Attorney General Chris Carr on February 25th, recusing herself from the Arbery case due to a conflict of interest. Gregory McMichael worked as an investigator for her office until his retirement in May 2019, a spokesman for the office told Insider. Johnson asked Carr to transfer the case to another prosecutor, George Barnhill, the district attorney for the neighboring Waycross Judicial Circuit, was tapped on February 27th, according to the Brunswick News. The information I had was there too, was a shooting involving Greg McMichael and his son. Johnson told the local outlet, there seemed to be a self-defense issue and they did not know whether they could make an arrest. However, a timeline by Glynn County's public information officer Matthew Kent relays the events differently and says that Johnson's office learned of the investigation around 3:30 p.m. on February 23rd per WJAX-TV. The DA's office advised that there needed to be further follow-up and the detectives will be contacted the following day by the DA from the Red Cross Jiu-Jitsu Circuit. The McMichaels were deemed not to be flight risks and the officers were advised by the DA's office that no arrests were necessary at this time, Glenn wrote, adding that Glenn County Police detectives were in touch with George Barnhill, the district attorney for the neighboring Red Cross Jiu-Jitsu Circuit from February 24th. The controversy has prompted calls for Johnson's removal from office. April 2nd, Barnhill, the second DA to step aside, tells police there are no grounds for an arrest. In a letter obtained by the New York Times, Barnhill told Glynn County Police Captain Tom Jump that the Aubrey's mother did not want him in charge of the case since his son worked for Johnson. She sees a conflict in that my son works in Brunswick District Attorney's office where Greg McMichael retired some time ago, he wrote. She believes there are kinships between the parties. There are not, and there has other unfounded allegations of bias. As such, I believe it's better for my office to step out and I am going to recuse myself and the assistants for working for me from handling the case. After reviewing the autopsy and reports on April 1st, Barnhill told Jump that there were no grounds for an arrest. The McMichaels were following in hot pursuit a burglary suspect with solid first-hand probable cause in their neighborhood and telling him to stop, he wrote. It appears that intent was to stop and hold this criminal suspect until law enforcement arrived. Under Georgia law, this is perfectly legal. Barnhill's letter also said that Georgia's open carry law allowed him to be armed since neither is a conflicted felon. They are also in a car registered to Travis McMichael. He detailed the altercation between Aubrey and Travis McMichael saying, given the fact Aubrey initiated the fight, at the point Aubrey grabbed the shotgun under Georgia law, McMichael was allowed to use deadly force to protect himself. According to Barnhill, there's also a question about who fired the fatal shot. While we know McMichael had his finger on the trigger, we do not know who caused the firings, he wrote. Barnhill letter named the witness William Bryan as the person who filmed the video of Aubrey's killing and also refers to a conversation that he had with Glynn County Police on February 24th. April 13, Aubrey's case lands on the desk of Tom Durden, a third district attorney. Statement issued by Durden on May 5th indicated that he was assigned Aubrey case or about April 13th, according to the Coastal Courier. He went on to write, having neither previous knowledge of the incident nor any relationship with any investigators or witnesses, I accepted the appointment to review the case and take the action I thought was appropriate. May 5th. A defense attorney leaks a graphic video of Aubrey shooting death on social media. The New York Times reported on May 8th that a defense attorney who had consulted with the McMichaels, but will not be representing them, leaked the video to a local radio station, WGIG. It was then posted on social media on May 5th where it went viral. It wasn't the two men with a Confederate flag in the back of a truck going down the road and shooting a jogger in the back, Alan Tucker told the newspaper. It got the truth out there as what you can see. My purpose was not to exonerate them or convict them. When the video went public, Durden announced that he plans to present the Aubrey case to a grand jury at the earliest available date once the coronavirus-related lockdowns lift, to let them decide if charges need to be brought against the McMichaels. The video spurred widespread outrage. May 6, Aubrey's parents and attorney held a news conference decrying their child's death and pushing arrests to McMichaels. Wanda Cooper Jones recalled the police telling her that her son was shot dead by a homeowner during their home burglary. It was only after his funeral that she came across a news article reporting that he was killed in the street, not a home or a yard. First Course News reported. So she began to look into the circumstances of his death. I don't think I'll ever reach the mental capacity to ever watch the video, she said. You know, I saw my son come in the world, and seeing him leave the world is not something I want to see ever. Benjamin Crump, one of the family's attorneys, told Insider on Wednesday that the video looked like a hunting party. We have every right to expect an arrest immediately based on the ocular proof presented in the video of his execution, Crump said. He added that if it were Aubrey and his father who had pulled the trigger on a white jogger, they have been arrested on the spot. We believe if this was any other citizen, especially a citizen of color, they will not be arrested because you have an unarmed man in a jogging attack, Crump said. He doesn't have any burglary outfit or burglary tools or anything like that, I mean. He's jogging, and this guy kills him, and they just take his word for it. May 6, support pours in for the Aubrey family with people demanding justice on Armand's behalf. The supermodel Padma Lakshmi tweeted the Glenn County Police Department's phone number so people could demand that Gregory and Travis McMichael be taken into custody. She chose a cacophony that included the voices of presumptive Democrat presidential nominee Joe Biden, NBA superstar LeBron James, talk show host Ellen DeGeneres, and the star of Netflix Clear Eye, Jonathan Van Ness. A change.org petition seeking hashtag justice for Armand amassed hundreds of thousands of signatures. May 7, agents from the Georgia Bureau of Investigation arrested McMichaels. Around 7:45 p.m., Thursday news broke out that the GBI had taken Gregory and Travis McMichael into custody. Both men faced felony murder and aggravated assault charges and were booked into the Glenn County Jail. On what would have been Aubrey's 26th birthday, supporters run 2.23 miles in recognition of the day that he died. Support for Aubrey and anger at his death sparked the I Run With Maude movement, with people running 2.23 miles to mark the day he was killed on his birthday. He was my baby boy that I actually had on Mother's Day of 1994, said his mother, Wanda Cooper Jones. He was the baby of the family, but that being said, Armand was his sister and his brother's keeper. Cooper Jones added, his spirit was good. He was the yes man and no man type of fellow. May 8th, GBI Director Vic Reynolds says probable cause was cleared to our agents pretty quickly. At a news conference on May 8th, the borough's director, Vic Reynolds, said that there was a sufficient probable cause to charge that McMichaels was felony murder and aggravated assault. I can tell you that if we didn't believe it, we would have arrested him, he said. If we believed it, then we're going to put the bracelets on them, and that's exactly what we did yesterday evening. He outlined that the GBI was brought in late on May 5th by Durden and within 36 hours felt confident in seeking arrest warrants for the McMichaels before nabbing them. Renner said that while the police in Glenn County had gotten the investigation to a good point, the GBI pursued additional leads, re-canvassed the neighborhood, and interviewed more people, some for the first time. Asked whether other arrests were pending, Reynolds said the investigation is active and ongoing. Reynolds described the video as Aubrey's shooting as a very important piece of evidence. The borough is investigating everybody involved in the case, including the individual who shot the video, as well as how it was leaked, he said. Georgia doesn't have a hate crime statute, so the crime can't be prosecuted as such, even though Marcus Aubrey Sr., the victim's father, characterized it as much. It was a hate crime, Marcus Aubrey Sr. told First Coast News. My young son wasn't doing nothing. minding his own business, running and working out. And that's a crime? To work out and run, he ain't breaking no law. No, time out. Two Greene County commissioners accused D.A. Johnson of obscuring arrests, and she fires back. Two Greene County commissioners, Alan Booker and Peter Murphy, accused District Attorney Jackie Johnson on May 8th of preventing police from arresting the McMichaels. The police at the scene went to her saying that she was ready to arrest the both of them. They were the police at the scene who had done the investigation. Booker told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, she shut them down to protect their friend Gregory McMichael. Murphy added, they were told not to make the arrest. But Johnson denies the baseless and false claims. WJIX-TV reported, she flatly denied having conversations with the police about the Aubrey case. Instead of alleging that this was an attempt to make excuses and to ignore the problems at the Greene County Police Department, for which they are ultimately responsible. Georgia's Attorney General taps the DOJ and the GBI to probe the handling of the Aubrey case. Georgia's Attorney General Chris Carr announced that on Sunday that he had asked the Department of Justice to conduct a complete and transparent review on how the Ahmaud Arbery case was handled from the offset, Rutgers reported. On particular interests are the ways of Johnson, Barnhill, and the Greene County Police Department responded to the fatal shooting. The DOJ is reportedly considering pursuing federal hate crime charges. The state of Georgia has no hate crime laws. In a news release on Monday, GBI shared that Carr has asked the agency to investigate possible prosecutorial misconduct by the offices of Johnson and Barnett. May 11th, a fourth district attorney is pulled into this closely watched case. S. Lee Merritt, one of the family's attorneys, said on Monday that a new prosecutor, Cobb County District Attorney Jolette Holmes, has been assigned to Aubrey case in the family's request, First Coast News reported. On Twitter, Merritt alleged that Atlanta Judicial Circus District Attorney Durden sat on the case until video of Ahmaud's murder was leaked. So Holmes represents a huge win in the family's pursuit for answers. She is currently being vetted for conflicts of interest, Merrill said. Later the same day, Carr told ABC News that the video of Aubrey's shooting left him stunned and sickened. When you see things like that, the first thing I thought was, that's not my Georgia, he said. That's not who we are. It is important for us to find out what happened and make sure the justice is done, Carr added. May 11th, an autopsy reveals that two gunshot blasts in the chest killed Aubrey. The two gun wounds to the chest killed Aubrey, according to an autopsy released Monday by the Georgia Bureau of Investigation Forensics Division. He sustained fatal injuries to the upper and lower chest, as well as a bullet also grazed his right wrist as he struggled with Travis McMichael for the shotgun, said the report. According to CNN affiliate WSB, this 25-year-old died of multiple gunshot wounds sustaining during a struggle for the shotgun. The report dated April 1st reads, Aubrey had no alcohol and drugs in his system at the time of death, the report says. This is actually a very sad situation. I can't believe that Georgia still doesn't have no hate crime laws. All the stuff that has happened in Georgia. I mean, the state of Georgia has always been a major hub within the civil rights movement, so that's weird. And Lee Merritt has been in so many of these cases where he has to defend black people. Well, that is the end of this special episode of Black Wall Street Chronicles. I wanted to give a special report showing a basic timeline of this case. If any new information comes out, if I see any articles, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my time and I am going to read the new information. Thank you very much, and you enjoy your day. God bless.